Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 66 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. I'm Billy, and back from his honeymoon is Dave.
Hey, guys, I'm all relaxed.
Yeah, you're like super tan.
You know.
Tanner than usual. Yeah, slightly red.
Actually, we didn't burn at all.
That's good. Big. That's good.
We applied lots of 50. SPF
on, nice. 50 is my minimum. I'm usually an 85 kind of guy.
I know you are, Billy.
I'll go as 100.
We did look for like the 85, 100 because we were down towards the equator.
Right.
And it's supposed to be a little harsher down there for us fair skinned folk. And,
yeah.
This is not the time of year where you could find where that that sort of SPF is available readily. It only kind of went up to 50, so we were just extra vigilant with the 50.
That's good. But yeah, I think it is, you just got to like know who to talk to down there.
Oh, you know, we didn't buy it down there.
Oh, gotcha.
We bought it up here because you know, down there is like $30 for a suntan lotion.
Oh, yeah, because everything is imported, you know, from the U.S. I remember paying like $5 for a can of Pringles, but I was like, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, so...
It's so delicious.
So, yeah, so we bought all ours at Target and then put it in our check bag and, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
All right.
Well,
you missed a fun week last week. You missed a fun week of comic books last week. I got Nick Doyle on the podcast. We were talking comics while you were gone.
I listened. Sarah fell asleep on the way home from my parents on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and popped in that podcast for my drive home.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, I want to see what happened last week while I was not around. So, you know. I heard you guys talking some Starman. I was a little jealous.
Were you screaming at your at your radio with every mistake we made?
No, there weren't really any mistakes you guys made. I totally forgot about that Starman, the Tony Harris, James Robinson, Jack Knight in Japan miniseries that.
Nice.
That they had once wanted to do. And I knew that they had decided not to do it, but like I think Tony Harris wanted to like fully paint it and stuff like that. It would have been in, you know, some alternate universe where that happened, it is probably gorgeous.
Yeah, definitely. Because his art style has definitely evolved since his Starman days.
Like, yeah, and he's pretty versatile. So like if he's doing... Like, if you look at, like, what he does, you could tell it's Tony Harris, but, you know, depending on what he's working on, he'll, like, tweak his style to fit that character.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. It would really be awesome, though, to have him and James Robinson return to Starman. They could just, you know, like, get back in the right mindset.
Yeah, there was, they did include, and I think it was in the Times Past book, they did, briefly return to the character for like a backup in JSA All-Stars. They wrote a Ted Knight Times Past story. And it was just like a 5-page story or something like that. They included it in the omnibus, but you know, in the omnibus you can't tell that you're like, oh, this is a, you know, this is a reunion, you know, but that was definitely a cool story.
All right. Now, speaking of comics of the present day,
yeah,
the times present, what are you buying this week?
Well, speaking of times past, we are getting into DC Convergence, where all of DC's past is coming back to haunt it. Brainiac has captured different and pivotal cities. Right before each of DC's, you know, major time events like Zero Hour or Infinite Crisis or Crisis on Infinite Earths or Final Crisis, and where like those continuities are wiped clearly away or like just a little bit away, And so now in Convergence, they're all coming together, and we get to see how some of these stories ended that, you know, were just kind of abruptly ended. And some, you know, just, you know, what's still going on with those guys? So it's really like all the miniseries look great to me. Like they look like love letters to DC's past. And I really want to like the miniseries, that the main miniseries, that is the crossover event. It's right. being helmed by Jeff King, and each issue is being written by someone different. So like, I think he does the plot, and then like Dan Jurgens, the Zero issue, he wrote that or whatever. And
Scott Lobdell is writing issue one.
Yeah.
What else has Jeff King worked on? Like, that name doesn't ring any bells to me.
If anybody wants to get a little bit behind the scenes of what Convergence is and who Jeff King is, the Nerdist Writers panel from this past week had a great interview with him. And he worked on, like, White Collar or something like that. He's a TV writer, and basically I think he ran this Convergence crossover like a TV show. And so they had, like, a writer's room. That's the impression I got. But it sounded like he had a really cool – it sounds like Convergence is going to be cool, but there's something about, like, the $5 price tag and – like Dan Jurgens, who I think is an okay writer, and Scott Lobdell, who I think is like not a great writer.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah, I can't get excited about a $5 issue miniseries.
Yeah.
Where Dan Jurgens is being led into Scott Lobdell. And I thumbed through Convergence number 0 in a comic book store. And I just couldn't bring myself to buy it.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely gonna buy it when the price drops a little bit, but it's just not something that I'm super excited about. The main series, the mini series that are going on, I'm like, ooh, these are cool, and I don't even know if you really need to know too much of what's going on, other than like I think, you know, these cities are converging and that they are going to be. Different characters are going to be fighting one another.
Gotcha.
And with that being said, Convergence Atom, number 1, I am super psyched for. It's written by Tom Pyre. And Tom Pyre, I believe, was the editor on Power of the Atom, which was a series that took place prior to Atom's involvement in the Suicide Squad. And it took place after Sword of the Atom for any Sword 80s.
Sword of the Atom. I thought you said Sort of the Atom. Like, oh, this is kind of the Atom. Not really. It's Atom.
And Tom Pyre is a great writer. He wrote the Our Man series with the Android Our Man, which was
a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Steve Yoel, people might know him from like Starman. He did a lot of Times Past in Starman. He did the first arc of The Invisibles. He's done a couple JSA books. I believe he did Sebastian O with Grant Morrison as well. He's done like a ton of Vertigo work, and I think his art is like sleek and just, you know, minimalistic but gorgeous. He's got great brushwork, and I'm super psyched for this book. I think I've said before that my dad's favorite character is the Atom.
Yes.
And yeah, so like I know my Atom mythology well, so I'm like, ooh, like great pick for Tom Pyre, editor of Power of the Atom from 1984, you know.
I didn't realize he was he I didn't realize Tom Pryor had been in comics that long. I always thought of him as like a 90s comics guy.
Yeah, no, he's been around for a while.
What I'm really liking are these Convergence variant covers done by Chip Kidd, where it's the character's face like kind of fading into this blue nothingness.
Yeah, I like the concept behind it. I think some look cooler than others as for like what image that they pick to fade.
Yeah, definitely. The Adam one definitely looks cooler than the Batgirl one.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
They think the Harley Quinn one looks awesome. She looks actually shocked. Same with the Mera on the cover of Justice League. But Damian on the cover of Batman and Robin, it just looks like they took a stock image of Damian.
Right. Yeah, so that's $4. And I'm also going to be jumping on Convergence question number one, which will be wrapping up Renee Montoya's story as the question. And it's going to be written by Greg Rucka. And the artist is Cully Hamner. And Greg Rucka has pretty much been like shepherding Renee Montoya since he's been writing Batman back in the early 90s, you know, through Gotham Central, through her development as the Question, and her like five books of blood that was post Final Crisis and the Final Crisis Revelation series. So I'm looking forward and excited that they're giving Greg Rucka a chance to finish her Questions series.
Yeah, I have a question about that. I thought that Greg Rucka had like sworn off working for DC Comics, or did I just get that completely wrong?
I think he was. I don't know if he swore it off, but he was like, you know what? I'm not. This is not what I'm going to focus on. Gotcha. But I think my guess is if they were like, hey, do you want to write the miniseries for the ending of the character that you've been shepherding for 20 years? And he probably was like, yeah, I would. You know, it's not a long-term commitment, and you know, it's, you know, a character that he's, you know, given a lot to. So I'm glad that he decided to do that.
Right.
After that, I'm going to jump on Rebels number one, which is also $4.
Yes, that looks cool.
Yeah, it's written by Brian Wood, and the art is Andrea Moody.
Now I'm looking at the title of Rebels. I think it's Mutti.
Mutti?
I'm looking at the title of Rebels. I get it, you know, it's set in the Revolutionary War, so Rebels makes sense for a title. But Dark Horse recently lost the Star Wars license to Marvel Comics, because Disney owns Marvel now. The other day they announced that they're going to do a promotion where retailers mail in like a certain number of copies of Star Wars number one, the Marvel series, they will get a exclusive variant cover done by Adam Hughes of the upcoming Barbed Wire number one. Side note, I can't believe they're bringing back Barbed Wire, which is a character most famous for Pamela Anderson playing her.
Right.
But beyond that, and now they have a comic coming out named Rebels. I feel like they're just trying to like turn the screw at Disney/Marvel for taking away their Star Wars license.
Yeah, it does seem that way a little bit. And the whole X number of covers of, you know, Star Wars number one to get, you know, the Adam Hughes variant of Barbed Wire. When I read that, I was like, that just doesn't seem classy. And it seems like a Marvel gag, you know, like
right.
But I wouldn't necessarily think of Dark Horse doing something like that. Like when I think of Dark Horse, I don't think of like, you know, cheap, you know, things
variant
like
covers
that.
Even.
Variant covers and, you know, sending you know, competitors covers in, you know, like That kind of stuff's like, you know, Marvel does, and, you know, they do it with a smile and a smirk or whatever.
Right.
You know, it definitely doesn't, it's not like a classy move, by any means. Yeah, so I was a little bummed to see that from Dark Horse, but you know, I guess they're like, we're gonna have fun with this.
I feel like they were like, F them.
Yeah. Well, that's also the vibe I got from that like crazy sale that they had right before they lost the license.
Oh yeah, well, they're, you know, $300 gets you every Star Wars book they've ever published, which included reprints of the original Marvel series.
Right. Yeah. Get it while it's hot.
Yeah, and I did. I totally jumped on that.
Yeah.
Looking back on it, maybe not the brightest move on my part.
Well, you know, probably not. I mean, if you're a big Star Wars fan, you know, at least you have that to read forever.
That's true. But Rebels is a series that I think a lot of people are going to overlook, because one is from Dark Horse, which is maybe the fourth or fifth most popular publisher right now. And it's a historical comic, but the combination of Brian Wood and Andrea Mucci's artwork just looks awesome, especially on the cover.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. I'm definitely going to be picking it up. Yeah, so that's $3-4 books there, and I'm at $12. I'm gonna throw on All New Hawkeye number 2 for another $4,
which hopefully will not be put out Grant Morrison style in Comixology.
Yeah. When you know, we'll have to get into our reviews of Multiversity from 2 weeks ago a little bit, but it made me think of All New Hawkeye, and I'll save my little bit about that till then. And I didn't really have any other book that I wanted to get that I read on a consistent basis. And so I was like, there's a new Todd McFarlane book coming out called Savior.
Oh yeah. I remember seeing a press release about that a while ago and then went and forgot about it.
Yeah. So, I'm just gonna throw that $3 on there and give it a whirl, see how good it is.
That's from Image, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would be shocked Savior. If it was from anybody else.
Yeah, this is kind of like a Jesus story, right? But in modern times?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Todd McFarlane writing it. Clayton Crane doing the art. I have to admit, I'm not a fan of Clayton Crane's artwork. The way he draws faces, they just seem like a little too exaggerated to me. I can't quite place it.
Right.
But whenever he has somebody like showing emotion, it seems like their jaw is like unhinged from the rest of their face. Yeah, I think he does his art digitally, and it has that kind of digital sheen to it that like I don't know, it's like Uncanny Valley kind of.
Yeah. So what's your 20?
Okay. I also am going to be picking up Rebels. It looks like a really cool series. I'd rather spend $4 on Rebels number 1 than $5 on Convergence number 1.
Right.
Now, if Ivan Reiss was doing the art in Convergence number 1 and not just the cover, I might have changed my mind about that.
Right.
But there's nothing about the Convergence number 1 creative team that's drawing me into that book.
Yeah.
Then moving on from Rebels, I'm going to jump down to Marvel. Got All New Hawkeye number 2. I loved the first issue once we got a corrected version of it. And I am still a little weirded out that Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye has not ended, but now we're 2 issues into his successor's run on Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, Lemire did a great job on the first issue, so I'm definitely looking forward to this one. I'm glad he kept Kate Bishop around and that it's not just Clint Barton, because I really do love Kate Bishop. The way that she and Clint play off each other.
Yeah.
Also at Marvel, I got S.H.I.E.L.D. number 4. I'm a huge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. The S.H.I.E.L.D. comic by Mark Waid has been great. Alan Davis was on the art for issue 3. I think he's back for issue number 4. So,
cool.
If they want to keep Alan Davis as the regular series artist, I have zero problem with that. He is amazing. And one of my most favorite artists of all time. You know what, and I was kind of excited for the Convergence miniseries and specials. I'm more excited for the books that are coming out after Convergence, so I'm not picking up anything Convergence related this week. I'm I just don't have the nostalgia factor like pulling me in. I have the nostalgia for like 90s DC comics, but this week it just isn't drawing me in enough for me to want to read any of them.
Right, yeah, no, I see that.
Yeah, so I'm going to throw my money at a different nostalgia book and pick up Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 6. Tom Scioli has just been doing such a fun job with this. It actually looks like toys fighting each other. He does the art in, I believe, pen and crayon, and it's just, it's super cool. And you could definitely tell that, like, he was a huge fan of both franchises when he was a kid. And then I'm going to round it out with Saga number 27. Saga continues to be, if not the best comic on the stands, you know, perennial top three. So yeah, that rounds me out. I have a dollar left, and usually, like, what are you going to do with that dollar? Marvel has two books out this week. They're only a dollar each. You can get Civil War number 1. If their answer to, like, you know, the Image first. So they're calling it True Believers. So you get True Believers Civil War number 1, which reprints Civil War number 1. And then there's True Believers Planet Hulk number 1, which actually reprints Incredible Hulk number 92, because there was no Planet Hulk number 1, but it's the first chapter of Planet Hulk.
Right.
I would buy one of these, but I've read both of them already. So what's the point? And looking around, there doesn't seem to be any dollar books out there that I haven't, you know, like there's no Image number 1 being released as a dollar book this week that I haven't read.
Right.
So we're just going to leave it at 19 bucks and call it a day.
Yeah. All right. So what did you read these past couple weeks?
I've been reading a lot of trades. You know what? We both read Multiverse of the Ultra Comics. Let's talk about that. Because whenever there's a Multiversity issue, we usually devote a lot of time to it. You weren't around last week to talk about it, so I've been, like, saving this up.
Yeah. I only read it once, actually, just because it was a busy week the week prior to going on the honeymoon. But I really enjoyed it. The character is actually called Ultra Comics. That's his name. And everybody right. who participates in reading the book becomes part of this kind of machine that Grant Morrison has made in this comic. This is kind of like the haunted comic that he's been talking about. And basically what I believe he's getting at is that, like, the gentry are pretty much, like, you know, are sucking away your time in your life by rereading these comics, that give you the same stories over and over again, and I think that's kind of what he's saying a little bit, or just, you know, any part of pop culture that you're looking at, you know, you're wasting your time.
Interesting. He's almost convincing me I shouldn't be buying comics, then.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And he's definitely does a bit of, like, you know, people commenting on the book during the book. And
right.
You know, it was very interesting. I definitely want to read it again, but it definitely made me think about All New Hawkeye number 2, where I'm, like, rereading the same pages over and over again and wasting my time. And I was like, it was the gentry infecting All New Hawkeye.
Yeah, and that's funny because that's not the reading I got from it. I thought that the gentry were kind of like online comic book fans who were just, you know, parsing bits of comic books to death. I guess like us.
I think that's it too. I think that you could probably take a bunch of meanings out of it, but
right.
I got that idea because how he's been playing with Infinity and how, like, basically you could read that comic in a loop over and over again. And, you know, and where they're saying you're trapped, you're in this now, like, you know, you know, and that's kind of, that's the idea I got behind it, that it's like, you know, that you're trapped, you're hooked in, you're sucked in, you're wasting your time with this kind of thing. You know. But I think what you're saying is right too, and I'm sure that, you know, there's probably a lot of meanings in all of this, and Grant Morrison won't tell us which is the right one because there probably isn't one.
Because he's like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I just eat a bunch of peyote and just type stuff. Now, what I did like, what I think my favorite panel in the entire book is when Ultra Comics was being made and the different colored inks were being kind of like funneled into his body.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just super cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
The other thing I liked is that his costume definitely looked like an homage to Miracle Man.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I didn't even pick up on that. Mm-hmm. I picked up on all the other Ultra comic characters in there, like Ultra the Multi-Alien, and then mm-hmm. Ultra the superhero from Earth Prime that predated him and then was retconned into being part of Maxima's from Almirak.
Yeah, well, he was on a mad rampage trying to find Maxima in this issue of Multiversity.
Yeah, which, you know, it didn't make a difference either way in the story, because, like, everybody would be like, I guess he's looking for some Maxima person, but, like, it actually is, like, this old, you know, Justice League book that it's referencing.
Yeah, and Maxima was one of my favorite 90s Superman supporting characters.
And Maxima's back in Supergirl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she's very different. She's not like looking for some Superman.
Yeah, she really just like she wanted to mate with Superman, basically.
Yeah, she was the old horn dog.
Yeah, I like even the art in this issue. I think actually might outdo Pax Americana. Like Doug Monkey's art is just fantastic. Yeah. Starting from page one, that splash with Ultra Comics emerging from, you know, his time travel. He's all beaten up. He's missing an eye, and he's just excited. And I love the homage to that old Carmine Infantino cover of The Flash, where The Flash is like, you know, you have to read this comic, except this one is, don't read this comic.
Right, yeah, that is great.
And then as I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, what if I don't read this comic? What if I just, like, take this advice? I was like, then I paid $5.
But yeah.
I'm saving the universe. But instead, I helped destroy the universe by actually reading it to the end.
Yep.
I love the layouts, like, I think it's, like, page 4 or 5, where it's the scientist talking to the reader, the businessman talking to the reader about Ultra Comics, and it's flashing on the screen, like, not a hoax, not a dream, not an imaginary story.
Right, who ends up being the Gentry, who I think is, like, supposed to be, like, you know, corporate comics.
Right. And then the title page with the tubes going into him, like, feeding in the different colored inks, I thought it was great.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous-looking page.
Yeah, especially, I like that they also had a black ink tube, too. It wasn't just the three colors.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the fourth color in four-color comics.
Yeah, well, anything that you read is cyan, magenta, yellow, and black.
Right. This was just, and I loved the pages where it was like 2 panels per page, and they were just going through like each age of comics. You know, there was a Golden Age panel where he's like beating up a mugger, a Silver Age one where he's like saving a Lois Lane character from some aliens, and like an Ultra Girl is dead, and he's screaming out why while like a nuclear explosion goes off in the background. And the next panel is the grim and gritty 90s where he's like punched a hole in a villain while saying to the reader, what are you looking at? This was just a fantastic book.
Yeah, I forgot about those pages. They were great. I got a kick out of those pages.
Yeah, and I think like even if you're not reading Multiversity, this is just a great comic on its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also read Lady Killer number 4.
Nick and I were talking about that on the podcast last week about how excited we were for this issue and how we both love the book. I didn't get a chance to read it this week. How was it?
It was great. Pushes the story along a little bit, and you know, I think I did not expect it to go exactly in this direction, so yeah. That's what I'll say about it. Read it.
All right. Yeah, I definitely will, because it is it's just a fascinating comic. It might help that I'm also like in the middle of going through like catching up on Mad Men too. So you know, I'm just loving that book right now.
Yeah. I also read Never Boy number 2, by Sean Simon and Tyler Jenkins. And it's still a great book. This is Never Boy is an imaginary friend who is on the run because he is, you know, not supposed to still be existing, and he found a new person to hang out with, and he's this artist who's down on his luck, and it's getting pretty interesting.
Oh, nice.
Pretty trippy. And then from a couple weeks ago, I read Pastaways number one by Matt Kent and Scott Collins, and that's the this team of explorers who end up in the past, which is our present.
Right.
And they have like a lot of time anomalies are starting, and so it wasn't exactly what I expected, because they start the story where you don't see them like coming into the past from the future. They've been here for like a year.
Oh,
and
wow.
They're like not hanging out with each other anymore, and they're just like just finding things to do on their own because they're just stuck here. And all of a sudden this like dinosaur appears in Greece, and they all go, oh man, something's up. Something's up with time, and maybe we could get back home. And they come back together. And the art's great. Scott Collins is always great. And it's definitely a cool setup for what's to come.
That is really cool. And it sounds very, especially with the dinosaur popping up, it sounds very Challengers of the Unknown-esque.
Yeah, I guess a little bit, yeah. But I could see that being like a good comparison in some way. I don't know too much of the characters yet. He does this really cool thing where like they're doing something and he's like pinpoints what this technology is and what it does, and it should be a neat book.
That's cool. That's cool. And who publishes that?
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Okay. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, it's funny. Dark Horse is really bringing on these creator-owned titles, and it's almost like they're trying, you know, successfully become like a new Image or a new Vertigo.
Yeah. And I think it's looking like they're, like with Neverboy, Ladykiller, and Pastaways, I like all three of those books a lot. So I would definitely suggest picking those up, or at least waiting for trade and then grabbing them. And also 8 from Raphael Albuquerque.
Yeah, you've been loving that, right?
Yeah. Also on the plane there and back, and while Sarah was getting ready for dinner during the week, I read volumes 1 through 3 of Greg Rucka and Michael Lark's Lazarus.
Oh, nice. How did you like it?
It is amazing.
Yeah, Nick's a big fan of that book.
It is great. I love it. It's you know, well written, obviously, by Greg Rucka. So, and Michael Lark's art is just gorgeous and expressive, and like the acting is just great in it. And you know, his page layouts are great and just awesome. And it reminds me a lot of. It reminds me of like the Hunger Games, Divergent type stories.
Okay.
But like a much smarter politically.
Interesting.
Like that, you know, and I compare it that way because the female character, it's like, you know, a female character, which you get a lot in Greg Rucka books. But it's the female character who is finding out she's special for some reason that she didn't know. And that's kind of seems to be a theme in those type of movies, and like that they might be the one to save everybody, you know. And it's not quite like that, but it's a little bit like that. You know, she's finding out that she's special, but I get like a lot of like the politics and how everything works in here is done much smarter than I think those other books.
Oh, nice. I like Michael Lark's art a lot. He was the artist of Alias, right?
I think so. I know I think he did some Gotham Central too.
Okay. He's a great artist. I actually have a Spider-Man sketch from him.
Yeah, I'll tell you how much I like this book. Volumes 1 through 3 are out, and I had purchased 1 through 2 on image sales that were like $4.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's usually my like, you know, because there's so many image sales all the time, I'm like, I just wait till they go on sale and then I buy the next book.
Right.
That's my guideline. But I liked it so much, I was like, I'm spending the 14.
Yellow, Dave. Yellow.
Yeah. So, I did it, and I loved it. It was great.
You regret nothing, right?
No. It was.
Is there a volume 4?
Not yet.
Okay. I was wondering if you were going to buy that. Now, one a single. You know, I did read a lot of trades this week. A single comic that I read.
Yeah.
I read Action Comics 40. I don't read Action Comics on a regular basis. I love the classic, like, Bizarro character, though. Not the forever evil, like, mumbling his way through a comic, clone Bizarro. Just, like, the silly, backwards, lives on a square planet Bizarro.
Sure.
And that's what Action Comics 40 is. Like, read if you would love this comic, Dave, because you're a classic Superman fan.
Mm-hmm.
Action Comics 40 was fantastic.
Is it a recent?
Yeah, it just came out last week.
Oh, okay.
And Bizarro, and the description is Bizarro makes Superman sane. Happy to see each other. No fighting ever. Aaron Cooter did the art. It was written by Greg Pak or Pak Pak. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name correctly.
Yeah.
And it is easily my favorite DC comic of the past year. Sorry, wow. Every Multiversity issue. it is so much fun. I actually took a picture of one of the panels. I gotta find this. But while I'm looking for that, so I picked this up because I'm excited for the post-convergent Bizarro miniseries, which is written by Heath Corson, who co-hosts the Nerdist Writers Panel a lot and is the screenwriter for a bunch of the DC animated movies. Chances are, if you're enjoying a DC animated movie, he wrote it. The comic was just so much fun. There's one scene where Bat-Zaro yells, Injustice League, hug the bunnies. And it actually plays into Superman Doomed. Like, the comic happens right after... Both Convergent Zero and Action Comics 40 start off almost on the same page of like Superman being just like hurtled through the bleed, and Action Comics 40, so good. Convergent Zero, put it down, did not buy it.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, maybe I'll check that out. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it is a comic worth like paying full price for, which is a hard thing to recommend these days.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, this is $4 well spent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, that's cool. I also read Lost Dogs by Jeff Lemire. That was a book prior to him writing Essex County. And a lot of the art is like really like raw as far as like him like reigning in his style and stuff like that. It was a quick read. It was okay. It showed a lot of potential. It was interesting to read it, being that I've read like I think everything else that he's written and drawn. So it was more interesting than like a great read, you know.
Right. And was that a Vertigo book? Who published that?
I think it's Top Shelf reprinted it. I think it was like self-published and then like Top Shelf published it like...
Gotcha.
Yeah, later on. Yeah. And the last... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, you know, this is actually going off topic completely. So I'm like, oh, yeah, we were talking about Convergence like 6 minutes ago. I'm going to go back into Convergence. It's too bad that like you're not more excited for Convergence because you invested so much into like Future's End, which like and Earth 2 World's End, which I feel like, you know, are being fed right into Convergence.
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean, I'm gonna read it, like,
right.
But I'll wait, you know, until.
You're not going out of your way to read it.
Yeah, I'll probably read it once, like, the price drops, you know, like I was doing with, you know, World's End and Future's End.
Gotcha.
So I'll keep, you know, keep an idea of what's going on in DCU for a dollar or less.
Now, yeah, so you read Lost Dogs, and I read Harley Quinn Volume 1, Hot in the City, which
yeah.
It basically was issues 0 through 8.
Yeah, DC had like a great sale on that. It was like $3 or $4.
Yeah, and you had read it a few weeks ago, and you did not like it.
I didn't care for it.
I think I liked it more than you did. It was funny, you know, after talking to you about it, I was like, oh, I'm probably not going to like this book, but let me just... I took it out from the library and said, you know, I'll give it a chance. I actually thought it was pretty funny. Some of the side characters seemed like kind of pointless, but I have to say they captured Coney Island very well.
Yeah, you know, there's things that there was like redeeming qualities to it, but it just didn't. It seemed like, I don't know, just not, just lowbrow humor. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I was like, oh, this seems like lowbrow humor, but I think I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just didn't care for it, you know. I don't know, just the, like, you know.
What I didn't like about it was, you know, I liked the first issue a lot when they had all the guest artists coming in.
Yeah,
and it was I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Because they did that, you know, they did that contest for like fans to get a page of art published and, you know, get their name out there. And it had so much controversy because that page had like Harley attempting suicide. And I remember just like the internet exploding and being like, Harley Quinn would, you know, would not do this, you know. And but it's like so many things that blow up on the internet. They didn't have all the details because they only had the one page of the script, so right. You didn't get it in the context of like the rest of the story, where it's nowhere near as misogynistic as people assumed it was going to be.
Right. No, I enjoyed that issue, and I enjoyed like the story of, you know, the her meeting that old guy and stuff like that. I enjoyed that. Mr. Cy Borgman.
Yeah, Cy Borgman, such a great name.
That I enjoyed, but like, I don't know, like a lot of the parts that like everyone was like, this is so funny, and maybe because everyone said it was so funny, and then right. I was like, oh, this is probably really funny, and that's not the humor that I usually like go for, like. Anyway, you know, like I'll laugh at it, but like, I don't know. It just didn't seem like, as far as like something that you, like someone would be like, this is like really funny, like really, really funny. You've got to read this, which is what I feel like I read whenever I see like a Harley Quinn review. I didn't feel like it deserved that praise. Like if someone was like, oh, this is a good comic and it's pretty funny. Yeah. Got some funny parts to it. I'd be like, I agree. So it might have been a little bit oversold.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I did not think it was like a laugh out loud fun. There were parts where I was like, oh, this was funny. Oh, this was funny. But nothing that made me think like Harley Quinn is the best humor comic on the market.
Right, yeah. I thought the story was okay and the humor was like, It was probably my least favorite part of the book, which is what seemed to be like what people talked about. So anyway, you know, go make up your mind on your own, internet.
Yeah.
And podcast listeners,
if I didn't enjoy anything about the comic, it's like I thought the art was good. I thought the art was a little too serious, not when Stefan Rue was drawing it, but when the regular series artist was drawing it. It just didn't have that cartoony feel that I feel like the script had. Like, I feel like the script would have been better served if Amanda Conner was doing the art.
I think you might be right on that.
Yeah. And then I read two other trades this week of Uncanny Avengers Volume 5, which is interesting because it has three issues of Uncanny Avengers and two issues of Magneto, and it basically leads right into Axis, and you find out how the Red Skull becomes the Red Onslaught. It wasn't how I thought it was going to happen. And that was good. And then it also had this year's Uncanny Avengers Annual, which didn't have much to do. It was just a fun Mojo story drawn by Art Adams, who's most famous. Who's Mojo's most famous stories are drawn by Art Adams, because he, you know, co-created him with Anne Nesenti. And then I read Fairest Volume 2, which is the spin-off of Fables. Each volume of Fairest focuses on a different one of the female characters in Fables. Volume 2 focuses on Rapunzel and does a really good job of kind of like combining Rapunzel and kind of like the girl from The Ring. Like, because the Hidden Kingdom refers to the Japanese fables, and Rapunzel, it turns out, was heavily involved with like the Japanese fables because of a tragedy that happened to her. And it's not, this series is not written by Bill Willingham, but he consults on the series. But it's a great, like, it reads like a Fables comic, and I highly recommend it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Did you read anything else?
I read Bunker by, The Bunker by Joshua Hale Fialkov.
Right.
And Joe Infernari. It was good. I had read the first issue a while back, and I really liked it, but I was like, I found it hard to follow because it was like, took in place with timelines, time travel and two different timelines. And it was very Lost-like, and but like really fun. And I was like, oh, I really like this, but like I'm not going to know, be able to remember who's who. Like I'm having a hard time keeping track of like the jumping timelines right now and like who's who, because while the art, the drawing's distinctive, like it's very like the coloring isn't, so like I'd have to go back and double check which girl was which and which guy was which, and I'm like, okay, this guy's this and that guy's that, okay, all right. And so I got the first trade. There was a sale on Joshua Hale Fialkov's stuff at Comixology, and so I was like, ooh, I'll grab that. And yeah, it was great.
Nice. And The Bunker is a Image book, or this is
Oni.
Oni, yeah. I was actually just looking it up on Amazon. I couldn't find the publisher. Cool. And yeah, Oni's been putting out some really cool comics lately, between this and Letter 44, which is Charles Soule's comic about basically the world ending. And the president and a bunch of people like escaping on a spaceship.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Cool. So the Bunker, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. I would recommend it.
How many volumes of it are out right now?
Just one.
Okay. I gotta read that at some point.
Yeah.
Cool. So any interesting comics news? Well, I guess the past 2 weeks.
I really haven't been like poking around any news sites because I've, you know, been on my honeymoon.
That's the right answer, Dave. If you said, like, oh, I have a bunch of things, I would have been like, you're going to get divorced soon.
I did see today that they were talking about the Batgirl book at whatever con it just went on, and they were saying that, like, it was only slated for 6 issues because it was going to end with Convergence anyway. But it's such a great hit that what happened post-Convergence with their new lineup have been heavily influenced by Batgirl.
Oh, interesting. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited for a bunch of these post-Convergence DC comics, but at the same time, it bums me out a little. Like, they kind of, you know, like, risked all their long-term fans by this new 52 experiment. And I feel like now they're doing the same thing with their new 52 fans.
Well, this is my guess. This is what I'm going to say. It is like, New 52 is very continuity heavy. in that they were saying like, okay, we're keeping this like slim and tight, and we're gonna know everything that works with everything. And they didn't do a great job of that all the time, you know. As you saw with like Legion and like a couple of other books. However, I think after this you're going to see that those stories don't go away. Like, I don't think like after Zero Hour happened, you didn't see like, you know, a different Superman, you know. It was the same Superman, those stories continued. I think it's gonna be a little bit like that, where you see like the same stories continue, but you know, like if they're like, let's try something new with Black Canary, like they'll just be like, this is the new Black Canary and this is how it was, you know. Like, they're not gonna be like they're not gonna try too hard to like, you know, be like, well, Black Canary did this and then did this and then did this and that's why that happened.
Right.
And now we're all caught up. I think it's going to be a little bit more like how we see like Marvel's attitude with their all new stuff. We're like, all new this. And then you're just like, whoa, who's this?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, like even with the Marvel all new stuff, you know, they're still pretty continuity heavy. Like, you go into the X-Men books in particular, and while maybe it's not as bad as the 90s, or maybe it's just that I have a basis of knowing like who the X-Men are, and I guess anyone who's seen the movies does too, but they just keep introducing new characters in these books, and I'm like, wait, who is this girl who looks like Rogue who isn't Rogue?
Yeah. So I think you're just gonna see like just a lot of like more spitballing of ideas and stuff. I think it's going to be a different attitude. I think that's what you might see, like a different attitude towards what kind of stories you will see, as opposed to like wiping away the stories of the past.
Gotcha.
And I think you might be able to see like, you know, hey, I've got a story about, you know, the Seven Soldiers of Victory from the Golden Age. Go ahead, do it. Like, I think it's going to be a little bit more like that, where like that kind of stuff was off the table before.
Gotcha. Hey, by any chance, did you happen to catch the cover to Miles Morales' Ultimate Spider-Man number 12 that's coming out this week?
No.
It looks like one of the DC Convergence covers, except it is the left side of the cover is blurred instead of the right side.
Wow.
Yeah, which I don't know if Marvel did that on purpose, knowing about like these DC covers.
Yeah.
But it actually like looks really cool if you put like a DC book and this Miles Morales cover next to each other.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, I was thumbing through. We got some great stuff in Marvel Digital Unlimited this week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Axis is finally starting, so I can catch up on that. We got Death of Wolverine number 3, which the first two issues are great. If you haven't read those yet, I highly recommend it. We have Ms. Marvel's guest appearance in Amazing Spider-Man number 7, which I actually did buy because I was so excited for her guest appearance. So I definitely recommend you read that one. And then it's the countdown to Secret Wars in Avengers number 36. The Winter Soldier number 1, the Al's Cot series, and then also Captain America 25, which is the first issue of Falcon as Captain America.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's and Female Thor number 1. Like, it is a huge week in Marvel Digital Unlimited this week.
Awesome.
Yeah, I actually went into my library and like unchecked all the ones I had saved to my device and like just downloaded stuff from this week.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's about it. Anything else going on?
Not really.
All right, I think we're going to bring this episode to an end. Dave, welcome back. I'm glad that we have you back in the United States and reading comic books again.
You're welcome. I was reading comics elsewhere, but I'm always happy to be doing it in the States.
USA. USA. All right, everybody, on behalf of Dave, myself, and everybody at Tuesday Night Comics, have an awesome Tuesday night, and I hope you read some great comics tomorrow and Wednesday. Good night.
God bless America.
God bless Dave Tomko.